Somebody is going to the NASCAR Cup Series right now. We'll take caller number two, Sunday, October 13th, 800-905-0989 to win the tickets at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And the tickets get you into the pre-race concert, countless driver appearances, and of course the 109 laps of exhilarating racing. Or you could break down and buy a pair of tickets. Or, you know, I could just give another pair away before the end of the show. How about that? You think I should? Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll give away another pair to whoever didn't win this time. We'll just listen closely for that. Folks, you need to listen closely to this, Lee. Noel Fritsch with the National File is on the line. Oh, my gosh. You know the push for the health czar is coming back in the Palmetto State? And National File, his publication, has done a deep dive, not just on this, but who's behind it. Namely, the World Health Organization. This has become an obsession of Colombia with consolidating these agencies in the state under a health czar who, no matter what they say, because of some existing stuff in the law that they could get rid of, but oddly aren't motivated to, this health czar would have an ungodly amount of power should, you know, we happen to have another pandemic, which is totally coming. Noel Fritsch is on the line. He is the publisher of the National File. Good morning, Noel.
Hey, Tara. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Tell me what's going on. Break this down in simple terms for folks. Who's behind this and why are they doing this?
All right. Well, I'm going to start out with the headline, which I believe is that Palmetto Promise, which is a group founded by Jim DeMint, who's supposed to be a conservative, mm-hmm. and one of his top henchmen over there at Palmetto Promise, Orrin Smith, are lying. Okay, and so National File, we have a different rating system over at National File. We are awarding Orrin Smith 8 O.J. Simpson gloves. That's the equivalent of the Pinocchios or the lying pants is on fire. Instead of Pinocchio or pants on fire, he gets O.J. Simpson gloves, the murder gloves that everybody knows that, of course, did fit his hands, and he did the murder. Because they have gone to great lengths at Palmetto Promise to defraud and lie to the people of South Carolina. And it's really ridiculous. In simple terms, these conservative luminaries who we thought were going to D.C. to help us actually end up working with the Uniparty to sell us out. That's the bottom line. That includes Jim DeMint. That's actually many, many members of the Freedom Caucus up in D.C., including Marjorie Greene, who came out actually kind of defending Kamala Harris yesterday. If folks knew that how bad the propaganda that they get kind of from conservative ink press is, they just wouldn't believe it. And it's coming all the way down into South Carolina, sadly, with Palmetto Promise. The background is this. Some of the people will have heard this. DHEC getting split up into like five different new agencies. The DHEC, the Department of Health and Environmental Control.
Right here in South Carolina, our State Department.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. Of health. And okay.
So I mean, what could go wrong now? Instead of just one agency to exercise oversight on, now you have five. So you just added more heads to the Hydra. Great, wonderful, grand, right? And so it's a mess. So Orrin Smith and Palmetto Promise gets busy, obviously being paid by major healthcare interests, okay, to do this because it's a very extensive defense that they're putting on over there for this nonsense, trying to explain away this the idea of this secretary. But the only problem is there is really no oversight at all. Once the person is sworn in as the czar, they're the czar, and it's going to take 2/3 vote in the houses to get rid of the person. And so, it's interesting. Many listeners will also be aware that there is a problem with the judicial system there, and it has to do with this selection process and nominating process. Well, Orrin Smith's very defense for against claims that we have a czar, in his defense for this healthcare quote unquote streamlining legislation. It is that, well, we'll be able to have oversight, but the very oversight that he points to has given us another scandal in the judicial realm as well. So you have to give this guy 8 O.J. Simpson gloves for lying to the people and introducing yet another situation where we're going to have problems. And you have problems already right now in South Carolina with your oversight and with your regulation coming from these unelected bureaucrats that you have at labor licensing and regulation, for example, which is one of these sub-agencies. South Carolina has an unelected bureaucrat bringing down the ban hammer onto doctors who, for example, don't want to mandate the shot for everybody. They're bringing down the ban hammer on doctors who, you know, refused to or wanted to prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin as an alternative to the other one, which run death is near, that other drug that kills lots of people. And also there are dentists now having problems with their licensure if they want to engage in alternative dental health care to what the American Dental Association mandates that you use, which, of course, as no one will be surprised, the mandates from the dental industry also, guess what? Surprise, surprise, they're toxic, like mercury in your mouth is toxic. All of the EU is banning mercury next year, and South Carolina is joining the regime to mandate mercury, toxic mercury fillings be in your mouth. You just had a dentist have their license suspended about 2 weeks ago. Her name is Dr. Blanche Gruby. So you've got big problems in South Carolina, and I'll leave it at this, Tara. The next frontier for the tyrannical medical industrial complex that is going to rain down on the citizens of South Carolina is the licensure regime inside of medicine, that they are just going to take away any doctors that might give you, you know, remember the second opinion? Remember when we used to have those? Well, those are gone. Kiss them goodbye.
Okay. And what you're talking about, Noel, is this health czar, they spent most of their time in the last legislative session trying to ram this down our throats. Freedom Caucus here fought it. People here fought it. They didn't get it through. So the next legislator, they're going to go back to their obsession with creating a health czar overseeing a combined agency. They have this group called the Boston Group that has put together the plan. Anything from Boston is suspect, okay, as far as I'm concerned. You write that it's a well-known deep state clearinghouse tied to the World Economic Forum and that they took millions of dollars from the World Health Organization, but that Henry McMaster, our governor, says they're just swell. Okay, that gets my attention. That's really scary. But why should I specifically not want this health czar and not want the bill you believe they're planning to bring back again? What is it going to mean to me in another pandemic? Is this part, I mean, you are the national file, yet you're running against South Carolina. Is this part of some push to get these health czars top down, total control in every state? Why are they doing this, in other words, Noel?
Well, here in the South, you know, a lot of listeners, of course, will know what the Mason-Dixon line is. Kamala's own folks tell us that that whole Civil War thing never stopped. That Mason-Dixon line is creeping further and further south. I live just north of the border in North Carolina. It's moving south. We're purple now. Virginia turned purple, 6 or 8 years ago. Colorado turned purple 10 years ago. South Carolina can absolutely turn purple. This is really important nationally. You guys have to hold the line in South Carolina against this creeping tyranny that is moving south, and it's going to be in Alabama, and that's part of their plan, absolutely. So we know, you guys know that Bloomberg is spending big money there in South Carolina. We know that Soros is spending big money there in South Carolina, and this is how it ends up manifesting. And they're insidious, and they're good at sort of hiding their gains until, you know, it's too late. Well, we got to get out ahead of it. Okay, so just very plainly, this licensure stuff is the next frontier of the medical fight, the war for medical freedom. Okay, and so there, if they don't want to have doctors, you know, prescribing alternative therapies for sicknesses, what are they going to do? They're just going to get rid of them using the health czars, and who will be in charge of licensing your doctors and your healthcare professionals. So, I mean, that's real easy. They're just going up the chain, so they don't have to worry about the little guy with the healthcare practice, whether it's dental or doctors or otherwise, down the chain, right? So they're just moving up the chain. So it's really important that we get rid of this healthcare czar coming into this legislation.
You say that this is in a second article you wrote, this consolidation of power under this health czar represents a major consolidation of power within one office that conservatives say will concentrate too much power in the hands of a health czar. The secretary is appointed by the governor and the Senate would then approve the czar. But then after that, what would they have a lot of power over licensing for doctors, including doctors who might want to write prescriptions for ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, stuff like that during the next pandemic we will absolutely have?
That is exactly it. There's little to no oversight. There would have to be, two-thirds vote to force those folks to move. If the czar won't remove the labor and licensing person, you have to remove the czar. Well, it takes a two-thirds vote in the House to get that done in both houses. And so really what they're doing is under the guise of, making healthcare more and the administration in these agencies more streamlined, they're actually consolidating power and taking agency away from the individuals and the citizens and voters in South Carolina.
Noel Fritsch, where can people find out more about this?
Nationalfile.com. It's at Nationalfile on all of the socials and real easy to find. And we'll have more on this. There's no question about it. Look, it's just really important that folks be able to take care of their health, number one. If we want to fix this economy, we got to have healthy people.
Amen. Noel Fritsch, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD.
Thanks, Tara.
So, just a little show note, if anybody cares. Biden and Kamala are expected to launch World War III this weekend, but it'll be cool. No big deal. And authorize attacks deep within Russian territory with long-range missiles. But they'll totally be cool with that. Russia's just not going to really care. It'll be fine. So on to the next. Wait, what? Politico admitting the story that I had the other day first from Axios. They broke it. That in all likelihood, our idiot Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, would announce the beginning of World War III this weekend in Kyiv. Do I have your attention? Yeah, and Washington's been working up to this very slowly. They figure you have Ukraine fatigue, so you're not paying attention. They can get a little war in. Maybe you won't notice. This isn't going to be like the other wars, though. It's not going to be like the one in Iraq. It's not going to be like the one in Afghanistan. Oh, no, it's going to be very different. Iraq and Afghanistan, they didn't have long-range missiles. They didn't have nukes. I've told you again and again, if she wins, our troops will be in a war with Russia, call it World War III, because that's what it'll be in 2025. I know. I even know where our troop movements will be in 2025, month by month, because those plans leaked from the German military. Oops. Nobody's talking about this. Meanwhile, as I've documented, you've got liberal publications like Axios and BuzzFeed trying to talk the sheeple into a draft. They're pretty clear about who will be fighting. That would be Russia. Do I have your attention now? Okay, so the plan to start World War III this weekend is likely well underway. We'll see if Blinken goes through with it. He's a freaking idiot if he does. This is what they would do. The one thing the Biden administration promised it would not do when it began funding Ukrainian resistance. No, we're not going to bomb Russia. Not us, no. No, we won't give Ukraine long-range missiles. Ooh, that would be World War III. I've got a whole bunch of audio. I'm not going to bore you with it. And then it was, well, okay, we will give Ukraine some missiles, but we're going to not let them use them. Hey, you know what? We'll give Ukraine some long-range missiles, but they can't use them. Now it's, hey, we'll give Ukraine some missiles, and they can use them to hit targets inside Russia. Now, here's the problem. With that, we might grab some poor Ukrainian's hand and mash the button with it, but that Ukraine lacks the ability to deliver these missiles themselves. Why? They will have to use our launch codes from our government, from our Pentagon, and our satellites to target and guide the missiles. With the thin veneer of cover of some Ukrainian guy hitting the button. And Putin is not going to be fooled by this. He just gave a statement warning He will consider this launching long-range missiles from Ukraine into Russia, our missiles given to the Ukrainians, guided by our satellites and with our launch codes, without which the Ukrainians can't do it. In other words, the Pentagon's going to have to do this. He said he would consider himself to be at war with NATO. Wow. That include retaliation. Oh, dear God, it does. Okay. How does NATO work? And look, I know I'm going to get a text line full of, I don't like Putin, he's a bad guy. Okay, yes, but do you want to go to World War III? See, I'm all down with World War III. I think it'd be, you know, great and all if these people were attacking us. They're not. What is the purpose of NATO? Anybody know? And you do. I'm being facetious. Ton of smart minds in this audience. The purpose of NATO is mutual protection from Russia, because like everybody else in the world's in NATO practically. So what does it mean? The purpose of NATO is if a NATO country is attacked, then we agree we will defend them, okay? NATO is not supposed to be an offensive regime. In other words, NATO is not supposed to go out bombing people with long-range missiles hoping to get in a war. That's not what NATO is for. Is Ukraine in NATO? No. Then why would we launch, because we're doing it, and that's what Putin's saying, why would we launch long-range missiles from Ukraine into Russia under the NATO banner, but it's really us in the UK? Because they want World War III. They want World War III, and we're using the cover of NATO to get into it. And look, this isn't new. The Democrat Party has been trying to get into a war with Russia. Russia knows we don't want war. Normal Americans and Republicans, but then I repeat myself, don't want war with Russia. There's a couple of neocons like Lindsey Graham, but he's not really a Republican anyway, so it doesn't count. Anyway, we don't. So this is why Putin prepares for war and rolls into other countries every time the Democrats take office, to protect himself. He knows the Republicans aren't at war with him. He knows Trump's not at war with him. He knows the Democrats want a war for profit. He knows all those military industrial complex contractors are out of a job. They've written huge checks to Her Highness. That's where the $500 million is coming from, a lot of it. And they don't have any way to make money. Because there's no Iraq, no Afghanistan. We handed that to the enemy, the Taliban. We need a new war. They need a war on the ground, right? Because like if you're medevac, you need hurt soldiers. If you are logistics, you need food to send the U.S. soldiers before they're hurt or killed, and then they profit from medevacking them out. See how this works? So Putin knows we need a war. And they're going to try to get into one this weekend, if Axios and Politico are correct, by announcing, hey, we'll just like hit inside Russia with long-range missiles. Who? Well, us in Britain. You know, NATO. That is not NATO's job. That is not what NATO does. Now, if Putin were to attack, say, Poland, a NATO country, well, then it would be incumbent upon us to retaliate. I don't agree with that. I think we should pull out of NATO. Our founders would be horrified by NATO. They wanted an isolationist nation that only defended its borders. But we're in NATO, and it would be incumbent upon us to defend Poland, unfortunately. But he hasn't attacked Poland. He hasn't attacked us. He hasn't bothered us one bit. In fact, we keep lying about him interfering our democracy, lying about Russia interfering our democracy, rolling our tanks up to his border in retaliation for what ended up being a Russia hoax. They've been sitting there since Barack Obama and his CIA were lying about that. We now know it's a hoax. Listen closely to Putin. I've retweeted his statement. He will consider himself at war with us if we do this. And you know how we can avoid war with Russia? Just don't do this. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You know, Her Highness is going to be giving interviews. She has deigned to speak to the serfs, but only the local ones, like from local TV. I think she thinks she's probably smarter than them and can handle it. Some enterprising local reporter should ask her about World War III. I wonder how much she even knows about this, that this is being done in her name and Joe's. She okay with long-range missiles being launched into Russia when Putin says he'd consider himself at war with us? I don't know. Do you know? Nobody's asked. Someone needs to ask Her Highness this weekend. And maybe Joe, too. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy. When Democrat corruption reaches a level that it's increasingly disturbing to Democrats, something's up. We saw some pretty remarkable defections this week. Had so much going on, I haven't had time to properly cover them all, including Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who endorsed Biden, but now says it needs to stop. He says they tried to kill Trump in an assassination. Did you hear that audio? It's incredible. They? We're told there's only one shooter. Who's they? We all know. And he knows, too. That's a heck of a red pill to have taken. He says he's not endorsing anyone. Now this. Oh, then we have a longtime, forever Democrat, Alan Dershowitz, left the Democrat Party. He can't take it anymore. He voted for Hillary and he can't take it anymore. And now this. I never thought I'd see this. Mark Penn, longtime Hillary Clinton pollster, Democrat, talking head for the Democrats, although probably not too much longer after this. You tell the truth, they cut you off. Wrote in the Wall Street Journal that the moderators in this debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, he writes, the moderators who were supposed to be neutral referees had decided in advance they were only going to fact check Mr. Trump, but not Ms. Harris. He writes that they prepped for the debate. They watched old video and recent video of Trump's speeches. They watched his old debates and they prepared to fact check him, but not Ms. Harris, they write. The bias was so over the top that even he couldn't take it. Even he couldn't take it. Here's how Fox News covered it this morning. And it is outrageous.
Well, one of the big stories, I think, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, is the moderators. Mm-hmm. Much more aggressive, much into fact-checking, not on Kamala Harris. No follow-ups. Fact, not opinion. There was no follow-ups with her. And there was a bunch with Trump. But it wasn't just people in the moment thinking to themselves, these two moderators thinking to themselves, I wonder how accurate this is. It wasn't instinct. It was preparation. Mm-hmm. They prepared. They studied Donald Trump's all his debates and his stump speeches, and they were ready to fact check the former president.
Just the former president, yeah, not Kamala Harris. Yeah, Mark Penn wrote an article with, who's the other guy who wrote it? With Andrew Stein. And he said, as we reviewed video and we compared notes, we became concerned about the role ABC and what it did to our democracy.
It's outrageous. Again, Mark Penn, Democrat, Hillary pollster, part of her campaigns. Talking about Kamala Harris, she enlisted every charge ever leveled against Mr. Trump, regardless of the truth. That included, to name a few, the false claims that he favored a national abortion ban, that he opposes in vitro fertilization, that he called neo-Nazis in Charlottesville very fine people, and that he threatened a bloodbath if he loses the election. Each is untrue, he writes. Mr. Trump has made clear he opposes the national abortion ban. He favors IVF and even said the government should pay for it. He condemned the Charlottesville neo-Nazis and he predicted a financial bloodbath for the auto industry if he loses and the Biden-Harris electric vehicle mandate progresses. He did not threaten an actual bloodbath among people. Had the moderators turned, this is Wall Street Journal, and this is a Democrat, prominent one. Had the moderators turned to Ms. Harris after these lies and said, that has been debunked, we might be having a totally different conversation about the debate, given how she tends to react when challenged. We would be saying she was having a good night until she couldn't help herself and went too far. Mr. Trump would have been freed from having to spend so much time defending himself against false charges, and the country would have gotten to hear more of his plans for America. Think back to June, they write, in which the CNN moderators exemplified fairness. That was only because they were trying to get rid of Joe Biden. That was the plan going in, but whatever. When the referees put their thumbs on the scale, they write, the game changes. The results have to be thrown out. We are robbed of our time and democracy have drained of its meaning. Unfortunately, you can't go back and fix this. Not a single fact check, and she lied her rear end off right in front of them. They go on to say this can't happen anymore, that future debates can't be on a channel with, you know, just moderators from that channel. What he leaves unsaid is because these channels are so liberal now. And that he says they need fact checkers from different perspectives. They need moderators from different perspectives and different networks. They should observe strict rules, he says, to the future moderators and come from a variety of networks. When Democrats write this, I'm still very frustrated at Trump for agreeing to do this debate when he knew full well that the head of ABC and her husband were very close friends with Kamala Harris and that they had raised money for her and donated to her since the 80s. In fact, they introduced her to her husband. So some of this is on Trump. I'm not going to pretend he's a total victim here. It was a dumb mistake. It was. I don't know why I did it. Even Mark Penn can see it was a disaster. I warned it would be a disaster on my Twitter feed. I predicted it would end exactly as it did and begged him to prepare in the week before. And I was right, and I didn't want to be. But I was right. I was one of the few to say I was dreading the debate and how it would end and how it would go down. And it went down exactly as I detailed, as if I'd already watched it. Why? It's that obvious how this was going to go. And he walked into it unprepared. He did. He paid the price. And unfortunately, even in the betting markets, in the polling market, she's ahead now. Now, the good news is you're going to see a lot of that coverage. And if the polling markets are saying she's ahead, I believe it. I believe that. Polls, not so much. The good news is Trump has a recovery time unlike anybody I've ever seen. It's about 2 weeks, usually. Hopefully he will recover here. But we just watched the polling markets as well as the polling North Carolina and Georgia flip to tie from red. So now we're down. We can come back. He has come back. The problem is he's got to do it fast. He's got to do it fast. I don't lie to you. I level with you. I do. I don't blow smoke. I'd probably have a higher ratings if I did. I have pretty high ratings in all defense. I got them yesterday. But I would have even higher ratings if I blew smoke up your wazoo. But you wouldn't trust me long term, and that would hurt me. We're not in a good place right now. But Trump does have a fast recovery time. But he needs to recover fast because let me tell you what. The voting in two of those swing states starts next week and the week after. He didn't have a lot of time to recover. If anybody can do it, Trump can. In fact, nobody else actually could recover that fast. But this isn't good. This isn't good. By the way, the lie she told at that debate and was allowed to get away with, so outrageous, the CEO of Goldman Sachs has had to come out and correct her. I'll tell you about that coming up next. What a lying hack she is. How bad was it? So bad that Donald Trump had to fact check the moderators of that debate, including David Muir, who it turns out was wrong on the crime stats. FBI says crime's down. Yeah, well, the FBI lies. I mean, it's why we call them the FBI. And what David Muir didn't tell you, because he's a liar too, is that the FBI leaves the biggest cities out of its crime stats now. It didn't used to. Those are big cities. They're blue cities. They are racked with migrant and other crime because they depoliced. And that violent crime, when you use a more accurate statistic, crimes reported by the American people is actually up 37% since Joe Biden took office. Yeah, that shocking stat came out this week. Violent crime up 37% in 3 years. Folks, that's incredible. If I set out with that as my goal, I was just evil and wanted to destroy things. In other words, a Democrat, I don't know if I could actually achieve that. Like if I really have 37% increase in violent crime, I only have 3 years to do it. They did. Folks, these people are not incompetent. They're highly effective. The problem is they're just evil. Here's the other one she got away with. So bad that David Muir, who did not fact check her at all while she rapid fired lies, but fact checked Trump with lies, didn't get this one. So it was up to the CEO of Goldman Sachs to fact check her and her lies. Take a listen.
Some of the top economists in our country and in the world have reviewed these plans. Goldman Sachs, for example, has said that my plan would grow our economy and his plan would shrink the economy, that his plan would reignite inflation and send us into a recession by the middle of next year.
That is Vice President Harris saying Goldman Sachs endorses her economic plan, but the company's CEO is debunking that claim.
Vice President Harris obviously first made that claim about Goldman Sachs endorsing her economic plan at the debate, obviously, on Tuesday night. She continued saying it at a rally in North Carolina yesterday, but the company's CEO, David Solomon, he says that the analysis that she's referring to is not as big of a deal as she's making it for them.
I think a lot more has been made of this than should be. What the report did is it looked at a handful of policy issues that have been put out by both sides, and it tried to model their impact on GDP growth. And the reason I say a bigger deal has been made of it is what it showed is the difference between the sets of policies that they put forward was about 0.2%.
So that's David Solomon, again, CEO of Gold.
Also, he was clear, we do not endorse her plan. Unfortunately, she repeated that lie after getting away with it at the debate. This woman is going to be a menace if she wins the presidency.